Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Welcome to Metron. Those of you who are listening to the podcast, we welcome you. This month, we're focusing specifically on meditation. And Saturday night, I went through and posted some of your comments from previous months when we have talked about meditation and have practiced it. And it was really powerful to see all those comments together, a lot of high energy on those words. And I thank you for it. And I especially thank those of you that get the idea of meditating together. Meditation, you know, on a personal level is wonderful, but there is something that happens in a corporate setting when we come together. It's what we've experienced when we've worshiped together and we've heard the word together. When you meditate together, it really connects everybody. And so those of you who are, if you're listening to this podcast driving, don't meditate while you're driving, please. I don't want you to say, I was driving along and you said close my eyes and I didn't want to be disobedient. That's not a good look. But I've had several people tell me that even just listening to the podcast on their phone and meditating, even going out walking or on the treadmill or whatever, it's you don't want to get legalistic about meditation. And even if it's not a full-blown meditation, just some of the things that we learn about breathing technique and that sort of thing are very beneficial. So we speak into this atmosphere. We say, let there be light. And I just want to give you a little exhortation. The first one is a scripture, and it's just one of my favorite scriptures. I had already chosen it, and I looked, Francis, on your page, you put a meme that says, meditate because not all the answers are on Google. And I thought, that's kind of exactly what I'm talking about. And I would go so far as to say, as much as I love and respect the Bible, not all the answers are in the Bible. People who say, there's an answer for everything, they haven't read the Bible, because there's clearly some things that you're a little bit on your own, or at least just you and spirit. When Jesus said, I have many more things to tell you, but you can't bear them now, he didn't follow it by saying, but a few centuries from now, some men are going to meet in North Africa and put together a group of scriptures that we're going to call the canon. It's going to be in the Council of Nicaea. He didn't say any of that. He said, Spirit is coming, and Spirit will lead you into all truth. There's some things you don't get on a written page. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and then ultimately the Word becomes Spirit. But I love this scripture out of 1 Kings chapter 19. It's just poetic, and it's in the New King James Version. I love this. It's talking about Elijah, and it says, Then he said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. In other words, this was an external thing that was what we would call a miracle. And it was profound, and it affected him. He said, but God wasn't in that. And then the next thing it says, after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after this fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, What are you doing here, Elijah? Now, I want you to understand the poetic implications of this, because what he's saying is, the external events that you expect to be life-changing for you rarely are. I can tell you this, Doc, this may have happened to you too, but I'm not against fasting. I used to fast a lot more than I do now. I probably could use a little more of it now. Don't laugh at that. But I used to fast. The longest I ever did was a week-long fast, and I used to do a lot of 72-hour fasts. I used to fast every Wednesday till after the service, and it was fine, and I have no regrets. But I remember one time I was specifically fasting for a specific thing, and at the end of it, I felt really good about my spirituality, and I set myself up and said, all right, God, what is your word to me? And the word I hear is, go eat something. And I thought, that's it? Go eat something? And I'm not trivializing that, but I can tell you, on other occasions, I've been sitting there watching a movie or talking to somebody on the phone or just taking a walk, and like the most profound life-altering revelation I've ever had will just come to me, and there's no way I can even begin to describe to you where it came from. There was nothing you can do to make it happen. Whatever you need to do, I mean, God still speaks to me through the scriptures. You know, I told you last Saturday night was kind of an interesting evening, and I went and picked up my grandfather's Bible, and it wasn't just hearing from God. I actually spoke to him, and I said, Granddaddy, I feel your energy on this Bible. I need you to speak to me about a situation. And I really felt like the scriptures that I opened up to is what he was telling me from the other side. Now, if that's too spooky for you, then fine. I'm telling you, truth isn't scary. And the more you walk in the light, trust what you feel here. If you feel a witness here, we haven't been taught enough to trust this. And, I've ministered on the still small voice for years. And I always said the problem with the still small voice is that it's still and small. And I thought about it today when I drove in. I went through a drive-thru and picked up a little something to eat for breakfast. So I was making a circle in the parking lot because I knew Wellington would be waiting on me with my car. So I'm like, I haven't finished my biscuit yet. So I was like eating it. And I drove by the little hill over there that years ago, I came here one night, meet somebody for dinner, and parking lot full, cops everywhere, and I pulled up there, and I clearly heard the voice say, you need to hide that computer bag. I mean, I just heard it clear as I just said it to you. It was a computer bag, it was in my passenger seat, and I literally didn't realize it, but I scoffed at it. I was like, oh, there's cops everywhere. It would have taken me a nanosecond to just put it in the back where it wouldn't be visible. But I was like, no, it's fine. Well, sure enough, one of the crackheads on the hill broke in and stole it, and it had a nice piece of jewelry in it and a bunch of stuff. And I couldn't even be mad because I thought, well, I clearly heard the voice say, you probably need to take that off the passenger seat. And I was like, still small voice, whatever. And after you have two or three of those, you start thinking, I need to start getting a little more quiet and listen to, I noticed you've been posting a lot about intuition lately. It's what we used to call walking in the spirit. Whatever your terminology is, I'm telling you, counseling is fine, preaching is fine, life coaching is great. All of those things are great. We believe in all those things. We do those things. But everything that you hear, either behind a counselor's desk or over a pulpit, needs to verify and confirm what you're already feeling on the inside. And let you know, this is what all teaching should bring you to this conclusion. Where the scripture says, you have no need that any man should teach you. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. The word educate means to draw out. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm pulling knowledge out of you. John said, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. You knew it all before you got here. And then when you were born, all those files got deleted. And you got a do-over, and some of us, our do-over wasn't all that great because we started getting wrong information and wrong files were downloaded. And so what we're doing is trying to get back to what is the eternal wisdom. I know I keep coming to this theme the whole time we've been at Metron, whether we've talked about Sophia wisdom or the female side of God or all these different things that we've talked about. The reason I'm doing this month is I can't just give it to you in theory form. I have to give you some practical demonstration. Is this is how you quiet your mind? Because when it talks about a wind that breaks the rock in pieces and an earthquake and a fire, those are catastrophic things that you learn. Hear this. This is going to be maybe the most important thing I say today. Just because you learn how to survive the wind, the earthquake, and the fire doesn't mean you learned anything from it. And this is what Christians, charismatic Christians, Word of Faith Christians have been notorious for, just wanting, just get me through. I want to come through the fire without the smell of smoke on my clothes. You know, just it's all that survival mentality. Just get me through it. Get me through it. Tell me I'm okay. Tell me I'm okay. It's fine to get through something, but you should reach a certain level in your life where you say, I don't want to just get through stuff. I want to learn from it. And if there's a wind, an earthquake, a fire in my life, I want it to, if I don't want to just survive it. Survival is great. We all relate to that testimony. The great Mahalia Jackson's anthem was How I Got Over. My soul looks back and wonder how I got over. We can all relate to that. I just want to add to it and say, when your soul looks back, say, look, I got over, and look how much smarter I am. Because if you keep doing the same thing, if you keep going around Sinai for 40 years, you need a better testimony. You know, the great hymn says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. So we're through many winds and earthquakes and fires, I have already come. That's great. Thank God that he's brought us through. Nobody wants to go under. But there needs to come a place where you're going next level in your thinking. And basically, what this is saying here is, you think, well, if anybody heard from God, it was Elijah the prophet, right? But he didn't find the word of the Lord in any external catastrophic things. At the end of the day, isn't it really the simplest things that have taught you anyway? I mean, why else did Jesus say, consider the lilies? That wasn't just a platitude. That was him saying, take some time off, go sit in the field and look at a flower, and you're going to learn something from it. Those of you that garden on a regular basis, don't you learn things from your garden? Don't you learn things about growth and plant? I remember, I thought about this for years when Fro started his landscaping business years ago, because I was teaching a lot about Dominion then, and he said, I think your theme was taking Dominion one yard at a time, because what I'd said was, you know, the earth was given to us, and we take Dominion over, and I thought, that's kind of brilliant, because what he's saying is, I'm not just mowing lawns and trimming shrubs. I'm actually altering the earth. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. The kingdom should always be at hand. Whatever your job is, you should have learned something from it. It's not just a way to make money. I don't think of this as a job, but I've learned things about human beings over the years. Just by talking to people and being with people and learning, you know, what I've learned from my own mistakes. I deal with things very differently. Now, early this morning, another minister sent me something that he posted on Facebook, and he said, I don't know if this is too harsh. I need you to read this. Tell me what you think about it. And I thought, well, this is your journey. This is where you are right now. So I just said, well, it's heartfelt to what you're experiencing right now. So, I mean, you know, it's good. I could have said, it's not what I would post, but I'm not where you are right now. So, I tell you, one thing that Eastern religion has adopted that Western religion needs to get is the idea, not just the word namaste, but the idea that whatever your spiritual journey is your journey, and I can't even judge it. And it may not be right for me, but if that's where you are, then fine. It's interesting how Christianity has become so much about control. You know, you can't just be a Christian, you got to be a Christian like me. And that didn't come from Jesus. Jesus was pretty laid back. You know, the disciples came to him and they said, this guy's over here doing miracles and he's not doing it in our name. And Jesus said, he's fine. Those are not against us or for us. Well, that's virtually, there's so much tribalism in Christianity now. I mean, something like 40,000 Christian denominations. I mean, just that in itself is insane when you think there's only 27 books in the New Testament. It's a basic same story about a virgin birth and a boy grows up and teaches and dies on a cross and is resurrected. I mean, Everybody from the Pentecostals to the Roman Catholics embrace that story, and there's over 40,000 Christian denominations. What? It's been really interesting to me to try to explain certain things in my walk to Ken, because he wasn't there for a lot. Like, he doesn't understand, like, why would people have a problem with talking about the words of your mouth? He said, why would that be controversial? I said, oh, my God, you have no idea. I mean, back in the 70s, this will be lost on some of you, but I remember when I was at my Assembly of God Bible College, if I was reading a Kenneth Hagin or Kenneth Copeland book, they would have dealt with me more harshly if they'd found dirty magazines. You know what I mean? It's like somebody finds a Kenneth Hagin book under your mattress. I mean, it was just like, this is the worst. You know, like, you could get in trouble for it. Now you think, what the heck was all that about? For things that my uncle used to preach that were just considered, I mean, run him out of town on a pole for the heresy. Now you turn on Christian TV and nearly everybody's preaching those things that were considered radical. You remember, you were there back in the day. Now you think, well, kind of everybody's saying that now. So all of that kind of infighting is really silly, even like when Eddie or Sammy or some of those guys are here, they came out of a kind of Pentecostalism that is completely different from what I came out of, because they came out of oneness apostolic Pentecostalism, which believed the Trinitarians. We thought they were a cult. They thought we were a cult. Well, if you didn't know, you think, well, you're all Pentecostal. And then, dear Lord, when the charismatic movement came in, the Pentecostals hated the charismatics. I can remember when people used to say, no, when you raise your hands, you don't raise it like this, you raise it like this. And people would make all this deal about it. And I think you're the same ones that are getting upset because when people meditate, they do a mudra, and like, you think that's something that's suspect, and yet you were telling people, no, you hold your hands like this. I actually remember a guy preach. Y'all think I'm making this up? A guy preaching. He said the difference between Pentecostals and Charismatics is the Pentecostals raise their hands like this, and the Charismatics raise their hand like this. Now you say that, it just sounds ridiculous. But there was a time I thought, yeah, that makes sense. That sounds about right. That's like, that's kind of the whole different train of thought. Now, I embrace all of my crazy past. I mean, I got tent revivalists in my blood. I mean, I think there's sawdust in there. There's a, you know, I came from all of that. But I also know that a lot of it, the scripture calls it wood, hay, and stubble. I call it something else I wouldn't say in mixed company. But a whole lot of it is just silliness. That's why even the other day when I had to take Ken, he's had some trouble with his sinuses, and he needed some relief. So I took him to this health place over here on whatever they call it, on urgent care. And I just felt like, well, he needs some prayer. So I put it on Facebook, and I also immediately posted something that I'd written before, because I got friends on Facebook that will say, don't you send me any of those vibrations. I believe by his stripes I'm healed. You pray in the name of Jesus. And there's people fighting over that. And I'm thinking, if you need relief, if I'm sick, I don't care. Say by his stripes I'm healed. Plead the blood. Rattle some beads. I don't care. I just want to feel better. Because really what the prayer actually is people I love sending me their energy. And that's what's going to make us feel better. It's not we got to bombard heaven and get that lazy God up off his throne. God's like, well, I wasn't going to do anything. I was going to try to stamp out world hunger, but y'all are bugging me about Ken's sinuses. I guess I'll do. That's not what, if that's what you think prayer is, namaste, but I mean, you might need a little counseling. My point is, all this kind of, I would put all of this in the category of fires, winds, and earthquakes. I'm not saying God wasn't in it. I'm not saying God wasn't in some of the great experiences I've had that I think, no, that was God. That was God getting through to me in my understanding at that time. So if you tell me you went to an altar and you got saved, you got born again, I'm not going to try to take that away from you. If you tell me you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, I rejoice with you in that. None of those, I'm not against any of those things. All I'm saying is after all the winds and earthquakes and fires have died down, did you learn how to listen to the still small voice? And I'm telling you, like I said last week, I don't think meditation's a panacea. I don't think it's an end-all be-all for everything. But I'll tell you this, the more meditative you become, the more you will hear the inner voice and the more you will trust it. And whatever you call that, if you call that the Holy Spirit, if you call that the inward witness, I call it voice with a capital V. That's something that I have personal theological comfort with. It's like, I don't know if you saw this post, but the other day, the last few weeks, I'm just going to tell you the truth, they've been challenging, and I've had to walk through a lot of the things that I've taught you, and I will always get through it. That's why I never worry about it. Even if I'm in the heart of the earth for 3 days, I will always be resurrected, so it's all good. But there was just this one day, a lot was on my mind, not the least of which, and I know some of you have already passed this milestone, but I'm about to pass a milestone birthday, and it takes some getting used to say a certain number. It just does. I remember some years ago when I turned 40, I remember I went to get a physical, and they were filling out the thing, and she said, how old are you? And I couldn't say the word. I said, I'm this many. It's like I just couldn't say it. Once I say I'm 40, then it's real. And so I got to get my equilibrium about adding some years to that. So there was just a lot on my mind. There was a lot on my mind about closing out the season of having my studio, just a lot of things. And the thing about change is good, and I feel it. I feel the atmosphere is pregnant with change, but it's also challenging. Especially as you get older. We were talking about before service, I was talking to some of y'all about it. I know this is sounds like a grumpy old man, but I hate when I go into Starbucks and there's a new barista. Because I'm like, oh crap. It's like starting a new relationship. You know, I'm thinking, I like the people that know who I am when I walk in, they just go ahead and fix my coffee and I don't have to explain to them. And there's just, I know it sounds ridiculous, but like I want extra ice in a venti cup. So there'll be somebody who'll say, well, you want me to put it in a Trenti cup so you can get there? No, I actually like the ice. So I don't want a Trenti cup's insane. It's like I'm walking around with a barrel of coffee. Just do it like I ask. Well, you know, for 50 cents more. No, I don't want to upgrade. I have 50 cents. I wanted this. And where is Shaniqua that used to work here? Because she already knew this. And I didn't have to explain this every time. So even when Avery and I meet to, we do our little staff meeting, we always have lunch over here at MetroFresh. And we've been there enough where on Thursdays we order 3 things and 2 bottles of water. And the people that know us, like, that's what. They don't ask us anything. They don't ask, do you want bread with that? Because we're not getting bread. We walked in Thursday, and there's all new people, and nobody was doing it right, and they didn't do, you know, they wrote the menu too small on the thing, and I was like, oh, I've got such a bad attitude. Because everybody, like, nobody was getting it right, and I was like, we do this every Thursday. Why are you here? Where are our regular people? So what I'm saying is, we're naturally resistant to change. And as you get older, I'm just telling you, I was thinking about it today. I went through a little drive-thru and I've noticed several things that I really like on menus have been removed. And I thought, universe, are you trying to open up new neuropaths in my brain? Because it seems like my favorite drink at this place, they don't serve it anymore. My favorite thing on the menu, they took it off. Like, what's going on? So I'm having to get new energy in my brain. Y'all still with me? I'm getting to my points. We're going to meditate. Don't worry. We got time. I was at Starbucks and I was thinking, I was just thinking about stuff. And I went, they have a little counter that's like facing the window. And I'm just sitting there sipping my coffee, looking out. And I was just thinking, and I said, I need some answers about what to do about this, what to do about that. There's just several things I need some clarity on. And just as I did, I noticed there's a guy standing out there with a ball cap on, smoking a cigarette, looking at his phone. And I hadn't even noticed him. And all of a sudden, I heard the voice, capital V, in me say, look up, the answer's right in front of your eyes. So I looked up, and I looked at this guy's ball cap, and on it it says, trust your process. And I knew it was a word. I was, because immediately I got peace. What that said to me was, you're overthinking everything. There's a process going on, and yes, some things are being removed, some things are being added, but it's all good. Once I got, and I actually took a picture of him very discreetly because I didn't want him to come and go, why are you taking my picture? And as soon as I snapped it, he was like a unicorn. He disappeared. Like if I hadn't gotten the picture, nobody would have, I don't, you know, it would have been hard to, it wouldn't have made my point. But I got it. It's like, thank you. I didn't get that through prayer and fasting, and it wasn't a thus saith the Lord. It didn't come across in prophecy. Nothing against prophecy, and I love prophets, and I have them here, whatever. But there's only so much you can prophesy, you know. I mean, I got to a point in the charismatic movement, I got prophesied over so much, I would nearly stop and say, wait, let me guess. Am I going to the next level? Because I've heard this before. And I used to think, despise not prophesying, despise not prophesying. And prophecy's good, but there comes a point, and I don't want to alienate any of my prophet friends, but hear me on this. There comes a point where you don't even really need prophets because you are the prophet. And when I say there's nothing anybody can tell you, I'm not telling you to be unteachable because you should always be learning stuff. But what I'm saying is there should come a time where you're not roaming to and fro in the earth looking for an answer. I remember when we used to have Kim Clement, nothing against him. I loved that season. But we had the largest crowds we've ever had, the biggest offerings we've ever had. One year we had him so many times, we paid him twice what we paid me because, you know, that's what the people, they gave to it. And I'm one thing is for sure, I may be a lot of things, but I'm always honest. So I thought, well, that's the offerings that came in, and I'd send him every one of those checks. That's what came in. But it let me know, like, people really want an answer. They're really looking forward to, you know, somebody tell me what it is. And I think that's great, and I have prophet friends, some who may be streaming today, and I love all you guys and support what you do. But we should be all getting to a place where prophecy at best is just the second or third witness to what the inner voice already said to us. If nothing else, it's an encouragement to say, all right, you're on the right path, which is what I got from that guy's ball cap. It wasn't like, it didn't fill in a lot of the blanks. It was drink your coffee and stop overthinking every little thing and trust your process. I mean, I just got it. And several times since then, if I start to wonder, well, what should I do about this? That's literally become a word to me. I'd never seen that phrase with trust, YA, trust your profit process. I thought, is that a thing? I've never even seen that on a meme, but it was a word to me that day. I remember years ago, you know, there's a phrase that's a four-letter word, blank, happens. And I had never seen that before, and I remember one day I was driving on the expressway, and there was a lot going on, and I looked, and it was on somebody's bumper, and it was kind of like a word to me. It's like I got it, and it made me laugh. And I thought, yeah, well, you know, excrement happens. You think, would that be a word from God? Yeah, foolish things of the world confound the wise. So the purpose of the meditation is to get your focus off of the wind. Get your focus off of the earthquake. Get your focus off of the fire. Can I tell you that? There's no big production here today. There's going to be no healing line. I'm not going to prophesy over anybody. Nobody's going to fall out. We don't need any catchers. It's going to be low key. What are we going to do today? We're going to learn once again to tap into the still small voice. And it may be one of the most important things you've ever done. Today, you being here today, don't underestimate the importance of it. You might get something out of this today that will literally save your life. Because, let me tell you this. You know how back when they used to have safe crackers, you know, these guys, their fingers would get so sensitive that they could move a combination and just feel the slightest little thing that the average person wouldn't feel, and they could unlock that. And another thing I remember when I used to go, like freshwater fishing, I've done both, but I would go with people who were used to fishing more than I did. And anytime I felt a drag on my line, I felt like I was getting a bite. And I would always be like pulling the thing up out of the water, like, I think I got something. No, it's just the water. Or you're, and like a seasoned fisherman would stand there and laugh at you. Like, you don't know. Like a real fisherman knows when that thing is pulled under and you actually got a bite. Well, that's the way we need to become with the still small voice. Become so sensitive to it that, I mean, I'll tell you this, I'm so sensitive to it now that if I'm driving home one way and something in me says, you need to go a different way today. It's happened to me so many times. I'll get home and on the news they'll say, today on I-85, such a thing happened. I think, man, I would have been right there if I hadn't moved. That's why people say, don't you hate Atlanta and the traffic? No, I know how to drive in it. For one thing, I live here and I know when to avoid certain times, but I also listen to the still small voice. I mean, Waze is great and all that kind of stuff is great, but you know what you got? You got a Waze on the inside of you that says, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Second thing I want to show you, it's another scripture, and it's out of Job. I've developed such an affection for Job, but not for the reasons that people think. Not because I'm oppressed, but because I think it's a real kingdom key about the answer's really in you. And I love this. It's in chapter 37, verse 14 in the New King James. It just very simply says, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. The implication is, if you're not still, you won't see what God is doing, what God is saying. There's a lot you lose in the noise. I'll tell you this. Nothing against churches that have big choirs and praise teams. We did it for years. I did it for 30 years, and I don't think anybody did it better than we did. And I love, if you want to see it, go look at the videos. They're great. I love that. And this week I had people posting on Facebook, oh, I missed that so much. I think, no, I don't really miss it. I loved it. I don't really miss it because I'm just in a different place now. Because I'll tell you this, I love the show. I mean, I do. I love, there's nothing I'd rather do than go to a Broadway show. I love big productions. I love old school Broadway shows with a big orchestra, and I love all of that. But I'll tell you this, when you go into a place and it's nothing but sensory overload, loud preaching, loud music, lights, whatever, it's great and it's extremely entertaining. But a lot of what you think is the anointing is really just being entertained. And I can tell you that because I did it for years. I produced it for years. I mean, we used to do it every week for years. And it was great. And I'm not saying that it's phony. I'm saying I don't miss that because I'm in such a different headspace now. I want to tap into what is real and what is authentic, not just what is hyped. I don't want to overthink a lot of stuff that we used to do, but there's a way you can move an audience. There just is. There's a way that you can learn how to do it vocally. It's awesome. When I see somebody that really knows how to do it, I'm impressed. I'm like, wow, they really moved that audience. That's awesome. I may not have learned anything. I might not have heard anything. Sometimes the word that I get that just changes everything is on a ball cap or something that one of my kids says or something I see on a commercial or a line I hear in a song. And I think, wow, that just made all the difference. Sometimes even when you're too preoccupied with all you've been through recently, and I'm preaching this to myself right now, you don't see the wondrous works of God because everything else is coming across like a fire, an earthquake, a wind, a something. And so not only are you not hearing the voice, you're also just distracted. You know, they say that most of the accidents that happen on the expressway are distraction. You know, they say that, and I think about this a lot because sometimes sleeping is a challenge for me. I mean, I've had to work at being a good sleeper my whole life. And I read recently that people who are sleep deprived are actually more dangerous on the road than drunk drivers. And one reason is because they're so easily distracted, because they're not focused, they're not sharp. Let me ask you this. Can you think of a time that something negative happened and you can look back and think, you know, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew I shouldn't have bought that. I knew we shouldn't have gone there. I felt it. Something in you was saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you talked yourself into it. I mean, how many of those can you go through till you finally say, I should just start listening before somebody talks to me, before I buy a house that I'm not really that jazzed about buying, but it just seems like the right thing to do. And I think anything that you feel pressured into doing is probably not the best thing. I think sometimes you just have to say, what? Did that ring a bell? Don't shout me down just because I'm preaching it. No, it really is true. And sometimes you think, oh, well, we've got to do this. Look, I'm all about, you know how much talk about making decisions. I believe in the power of a decision. I also believe that the decision should be without distraction. And the decision should give you some clarity. And if it doesn't give you clarity, then you're not ready to make that decision. And it's okay to say, I'm not ready to commit to that right now. It doesn't mean you have a poverty mentality. It doesn't mean that you're fearful. It just means I'm not ready. I'm not even throwing it out. I'm not saying no. I'm just saying I don't hear the bell ringing real clear yet. And so until I do, and I'm saying this because I learned the hard way, I remember, bless my heart, my first little album I made, I knew, signing that my little contract for whatever little money I paid. How many times can I use the word little? And I remember the whole time thinking, I shouldn't work with these people. I shouldn't work with these people. And of course it went badly. And the whole time is like, well, I remember signing that contract was like, my hand felt like lead. Like, but I wanted to make records. And they appealed to my ego, and we're promoting all these people. And so you go, okay, now, baby, you got to, even if you put light a fire, start an earthquake, or blow a wind, I'm like, I don't know, that doesn't, I've seen all the bells and whistles. I don't know that that's, I got to get quiet. Excuse me for a minute. Wouldn't that be funny if you went to like a realtor's office or something, and they said, we need a decision today, and you said, I need 15 minutes. Could we lower the lights, please? Wouldn't that be funny if you said, please, sir, would you not say anything for just a moment? Charles comes in and plays some music for you, wherever you are. He's following you around with a boombox. And you're like, okay, into my nose. And they're like, excuse me, what are you doing? Like, please. I'm trying to hear the still small voice. What if you just sat there for 15 minutes? When you get through, you go, still small voice said no. Thank you very much. God bless you. I can't. I've learned the hard way. When the SSV says something, I don't diss the SSV. SSV said no. I got to go with no. Love y'all. I might be back next month, but in my meditation. And if I hadn't meditated, your earthquake and fire and wind might have razzle-dazzled me, and I would be like, okay, where do I sign? And I would have walked out having buyer's remorse immediately. I mean, even something as simple as, if you ever gone in to buy some clothes and somebody puts something on you that you know is not right for you, and they talk you into it, and then you talk for a while, and now you've kind of built a rapport, and they wear you down, you think, yeah, I guess maybe that does look good on me. And as soon as you walk out, you go, I'm never going to wear this. And if you don't like it in the store, every time you put it on, you're still going to go, no, they were wrong. They didn't know me. I don't like it. I don't want to buy that. You ever done it? I've done it. I've done it because I talked to the person. I know, well, they got to make a commission, and we've kind of bonded, and we've had some chemistry, so I'm going to buy it. Maybe they're right. Maybe it'll grow on me. No, it didn't grow on me because I knew what was right for me. What am I? Am I batting 1,000? Y'all may not be feeling it, but we're having a revival on the front row. It may not make it back to the fourth row, but on the front, I got to tell you, on this front row, God's speaking. But there's even something, before I leave this, even if it's not meditation per se, let me at least just exhort you to spend some quiet time every day, take a walk, get out in nature, turn the radio off. Just even if you don't fully meditate and close everything down, at least get quiet. There's not enough quietness. And I can say that because I've got some device going all the time. And I'm saying that to myself. There comes a time where you need to say, I need to just be quiet. And I'm not even necessarily asking for anything. I just need to be quiet for my own sense of well-being. Sometimes I don't necessarily feel like talking, and it doesn't mean anything's wrong. And when people aren't used to it, if you're not talking, they're like, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Why aren't you talking? I'm just being quiet right now. Is everything okay? Yeah, everything's okay. I just want to be quiet right now. I'm not depressed. I'm just quiet. And dear Lord, there's enough noise already going on. I don't have to add to the din. I'm just being quiet. Have you ever noticed how quietness makes a lot of people really antsy around you? You know, they say that's the best definition of a true friend is somebody you can be quiet with. Some of you married people know when you've reached that place where you can just enjoy being together and you're not having to talk every doggone minute. That's the sign of maturity. It doesn't mean y'all are bored with each other. It just means at a certain point, you should have some kind of nonverbal communication. You know what I mean? Where you go, you want to go? Yeah, we are. Okay. Well, you didn't finish the sentence, but you already know. I mean, really, that's a test for your relationship. If you can just walk on a beach together and be quiet, and you're not having to chatter the whole time. Even with somebody you love, don't you just want them to be quiet once in a while? I mean, I could say it because I'm married to somebody who's very quiet, and I draw a lot off of his strength of just like, wow, he's really quiet. He said something early on. He's probably streaming. Because I came from a place where everything meant something. You know, in years of being in the ministry and everybody in my family's in the ministry and everybody's burnt out and cynical and, you know, the ministry does a number on you. And early on, he was being quiet and I kept asking him, are you sure everything's okay? Is everything okay? And he said, look, I just need to tell you something. He said, I'm simple. And I knew what he meant. He wasn't saying he wasn't smart. He was just saying, you're reading way more into this. And I thought, got it. And it was like, I think I love you even more now. Like, that's really good. I needed somebody simple in my life who's just like, quietness just means you're just being quiet. It doesn't mean anything's wrong. This person's not being passive aggressive. They're not pouting. They're just kind of quiet. Some of you people say, I just wish he would open up and talk more. You might not want him to open up. If he would just tell me what's on his mind. Let me tell you something. Generally, especially with men, there's not that much on their mind, really. I've counseled women with this for years. Like, I know you think there's more going on there, but, I mean, it's been proven women are just typically a little more verbally skilled than men are. So don't read more into it. Typically, for, like, straight married couples, for the most part, if a woman tells the man in her life everything's okay, he probably thinks everything's okay. Missing the cue for you to dig in a little deeper and say, I know you say everything's okay, but I know it's not really okay. That's the way a woman typically, I'm not stereotyping, that's the way a woman typically would communicate. If you tell a man, no, everything's okay, then he's like, he wants to go watch the game now. Like, well, she said everything's okay. And that's what you need girlfriends for, or a gay best friend, where you can call him and say, he thinks everything's okay, but everything is so not okay. All right, now I went too far. I preached past the anointing. I want to show you this one quote by Dr. Joe that I like a lot. I may have used it before, but it makes my point today. He says, meditating is also a means for you to move beyond your analytical mind so that you can access your subconscious mind. That's crucial, since the subconscious is where all your bad habits and behaviors that you want to change reside. Now, think about this. How many times have you turned over a new leaf and nothing changed? It's because until the subconscious is dealt with, all you're dealing with is surface stuff. So until you can strip past the noise of the earthquake, the wind, the fire, and find the still small voice, you're not even dealing with where the issue is. And I'll tell you something about some of the meditation we've done. You don't always see the results sitting in here in this theater. The results come on Tuesday or Wednesday or something, when something surfaces or something is different or whatever, and you think, where's that coming from? Oh, it's because I meditated and suddenly I'm in a different zone. Did I have a fourth thing? Okay, what was the, I don't remember what the fourth thing was. Oh yeah, I want just one last quote. Just very simple, but it says, everything you ever needed to know is waiting in the space between your thoughts. Not only do you have to, you don't always have to be speaking, you don't always have to be thinking. I remember years ago, I've shared this with you, but we were right in the middle of the building program, and it was, oh dear God, it was so stressful and so much going on. And it's back when I was married before, and we took the kids, I think we went to the Bahamas or something. It was, and I remember floating in a pool on a flotation device. There was hardly anybody at this place where we were staying. And it suddenly occurred to me, I thought, I haven't had a single thought in like 45 minutes. And it was like the best feeling, like my mind is completely empty. That to me was, that was the restful part of the vacation. Because I was in a zone where I was administrating so many people, and you know, you'd be in meetings all day long with building stuff and the DOT or whatever, and now it's church time, you got to switch hats and go in and, you know, be prophetic. And it was like, there's no, I don't know of any other job that requires you to be so many different types of people. You know, you're dealing with just everything. And it just occurred to me, like, wow, I actually am just completely neutral. I'm just, you know, it was one of those places where there's no little kids running around the pool. I don't even know where my kids were. They were off in the ocean somewhere. And it was, you know, you're just floating. And, well, they could all swim. I don't mean they were abandoned. They were, I actually think they had gone on a boat ride. And I remember, you know, you're just floating and there's just a little bit of a, you know, you're just like, and I wasn't even asleep. I was just like, wow, I am completely quiet. And I hadn't been quiet in so long. I had to remember, oh, this is what it feels like to be quiet. There's 100 scriptures I could use to make that point. Be still and know that I'm God. Stand still and see His glory. Stand still and let the Lord fight for you. There's so many. You start looking for it, you see it all through the scriptures. Be still, stand still, be quiet. You know, just center yourself. Why is it that Buddhists and people more from Eastern religions tapped into that more than Christians did? I believe it's not an Eastern or a Western thing. It's a universal thing. You know, when you get out in outer space, it's quiet out there. And I'm not against noise. I love music. I love TV. I make no apology for that. I like the noisy world. I live downtown. I sleep to traffic noises. What I'm saying is when you live in a noisy world, you have to make the effort to find the quiet. There is a quiet. Ralph Carmichael wrote a beautiful song. There is a quiet place far from the rapid pace where God can soothe my troubled mind. Sheltered by tree and flower, there in that quiet hour, new strength, and there I'll find. I haven't thought of this song in 30 years. It's just coming to me. Whether a garden small or on a mountain tall, new strength and courage there I'll find. Then from this quiet place, I'll go prepared to face a new day with love for all mankind. Just a great song about, well, it's kind of like some of y'all grew up with the song Sweet Hour of Prayer and those kind of songs about consecration, being quiet. Even the whole idea of Jesus talking about a prayer closet means he's not talking about actually closing yourself in a closet. He's saying, find what David or what Moses was talking about when he said, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. All right, we're ready. Let's bring the lights down. If you don't want to participate with us, it's fine, but I just want to ask you to do it. Put both feet on the floor. Sit up straight. Posture is really, really important. It's about aligning yourself with receptivity. If you want to do a mudra, don't read more into it than that. It's just it's energy point. Probably want to close your eyes. Go ahead and start me some music, Charles, whatever you got. Mostly, meditation is about breathing. In the scriptures, breath and spirit are used interchangeably. So when you get in touch with breath, you're getting in touch with spirit. God breathed into Adam. Jesus breathed on his disciples. There's something holy about breath. We're going to breathe in through our nose if you can. Inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth. It's about nitric oxide. Is that right? It brings relaxation to your muscles. So we're going to breathe in through our nose and hold it. Then exhale through your mouth. Breathe in. Exhale. Inhale. Hold it. Exhale. Already on the third breath, you probably start, those of you who have done this a lot, you're probably already getting there. Don't contend with your thoughts. Just let them do what they're going to do and then gently corral them back in. They'll just be animated for a moment and they'll settle down. Just become consistent in your breathing. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale and exhale more than just through your nose and mouth. Breathe in through your skin, through your pores, through your hair, tips of your fingers. Breathe in and breathe out. Think about your entire body breathing. If you want to feel gratitude for every one of those breaths, that's okay. Feel the gratitude. Every time you breathe, that means you're alive. It might even be a good exercise to say thank you inside with every breath you take. Thank you. For the breath of life. Thank you for life. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you, life. As you breathe, just let light fill your body. Let it fill your internal organs. Let gratitude fill you. with every time you exhale, negative energy is going out of you. Keep the love and light. Exhale bitterness, stress, and worry. Calm yourself with your breath. Be consistent with your breath. Don't worry about trying to hear the still small voice right now. Right now you just concentrate on your breathing. The rest of it will take care of itself. You're just breathing right now. Breathe into peace. Breathe into gratitude. Breathe into wholeness. Breathe into wellness. Try to ignore the negative. Just breathe into it and then breathe past it. Just let negative energy drain out of you. Just let it drain out. Let it melt out. Let it drain out of the ends of your fingers. Stress is leaving your shoulders. It's leaving your spinal column. Stress is leaving area around your hips where you've been retaining it. Even when you sit, you're sitting in a strain. Just breathe out of it. Breathe out of your bones. Breathe out of your muscles. Let your body just become a channel. It's receiving breath. It's releasing breath. Nothing but breath. You're only aware of your breathing. Still and see the wondrous works of God. Be still and know that I am God. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Peace I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Go beyond the scriptures and find your place in spirit. connect with Spirit. Connect with the eternal Word of God. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. Meditate yourself back to creation. Where the Spirit is vibrating over the face of the deep. Find your place in that eternal vibration of Spirit that created everything. You're in the flow of creation. You're in the flow of life. You're in harmony with the voice that said, "Let there be light." You're in the I Am. stay in your quiet place, but I want to give you three things. Keep your eyes closed. Just for a moment, I just want you to meditate on the words love and light. Just meditate those words for just a moment. Love and light, love and light, light and love, love and light, love and light. Just let those words wash over you. Secondly, while you're all here in a place, I want you to send a healing thought to Leona right now. I know you all love her. Leona, hear us in the spirit. We send healing words to you, to your physical body. Healing and wellness and wholeness to you right now. The third thing is, listen to the still small voice now. What is the God in you saying? What is the God in you telling you you should do, you should feel, you should not do, you should not feel, whatever? It's your inner GPS system. Find your bearings. Get in touch with your spirit, with God in your spirit. You don't need to say a lot. You don't need to hear a lot. Just find that word or that phrase, that intention that is God speaking in you. Remember, the voice is still and it's small, so it will not be shouted at you. It'll be very minimalist, just a simple word, a simple phrase. Voice may say something like, let it go, or lay it down, or move on, or you'll know when it's the correct word in your spirit, and then trust it. Right, in a moment we'll gradually start coming out of it. When you're ready to open your eyes, you can. If you need to clear your throat, whatever. If you've been trying to be quiet, you can relax a little bit. Just give yourself some time. Your strength and your serenity. So when you embrace it, it's like charging a battery. Start bringing the lights back up. Just come out at your own pace. We actually could have gone longer, but I wish you could see how beautiful you guys are when you meditate. There's just the sweetest expression on your face, and it's kind of an aura around you. It's really, I mean, I have my eyes closed through most of it, but when I look at it, it's just really beautiful. What? Looks like what? Yeah. Well, that's what I was feeling very, you know, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. I think sometimes the stuff that we try to fix in this dimension really needs to be taken care of in the eternal dimension. I think, you know what I mean? We swat at gnats and flies and put Band-Aids on things when really you need to go back to creation. You know how we talked about, got that picture of Ray and me doing that? Because in the concordant literal version, it says the spirit is vibrating, not was, but is. And so it's coming up to that higher consciousness to get in touch with where that bigger than little trivial stuff that distracts us in this time, in this plane, in this dimension. When you get in touch with eternity, what's Paul saying? You're seated with him in heavenly places. It's like it's changing your perception of things. Good stuff. Y'all want to go back in? Let's go back in for one more dip. Now that'll do us for today. If you want to stand, you might want to stretch a little bit because you've been sitting for a while. This was very good. Every time it's different. Anybody feel like you heard from the voice? Did the voice give you some direction? Or? Ro was hearing compassion. Absolutely. Anybody else get, you've heard anything? Stay. Say what? Stay. I got you. And usually, it seems like the most profound words are just a word. Do you know what I mean? It's not a 10-page prophecy. It's one word that you know what that means. For me, the other day, it was three words. Trust your process. Anybody else hear anything? What? Trust? Absolutely. What did you get trust to? Uh-oh, now y'all are just scaring me. That must have been the trust section over there. Fro, you better get in on it. It's going to look like you were... You're in a trust sandwich over there. Man. What Fro said, I think all of us can relate to. Trust what you heard in the beginning. Somebody else may have heard something different. And stop stressing yourself out over trying to make them hear it. That's a word. That's probably a word to all parents. You know what I mean? Huh? He made the sandwich.
Yes, yes.
With some Miracle Whip and some mustard. No, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. And that's one of the things that meditate. Something about meditation, it makes you want to stop trying to control people and situations. It doesn't mean that you're just passive. I don't necessarily believe in passivity. I think sometimes you do need to speak up. You need like there is a time for intervention. But most times it's, especially if it's something that you've already prayed about, whatever, you have to say, there's a process taking place and I need to let that alone. It's like pulling the butterfly out of the cocoon and it ends up killing the butterfly. Somebody else? Do you hear anything? What, this side didn't hear anything? Y'all were, what's going on? Huh? What you got? What Keith was hearing is take this home with you. This is great to do it here, but also, and the great thing about this, you don't need any special equipment for it. Do you know what I mean? Now, I need music. Music makes me, it changes the brain chemistry for me. What's that? There's more than one. There's meditation apps. So everybody's got a device now. You can, if nothing else, you can just find, if you've got Siri, you can say, you know, find meditative music. But outside of that, you don't need, I mean, it's great if you can sit on the, I mean, I got to tell you, sitting on the floor in a lotus position, it's a little challenging. You know what I mean? It's like, but you could sit down and do it. You can, I mean, what is it? Psalm 4:4 says, commune with your own heart, meditate with your own heart upon your bed. It talks about laying down and meditate. Somebody else? What Karen was saying is the words love and light, that light was illuminating the whole process. That really resonated with her. Who's waving? Why are people waving? Oh, you're just... Oh. Renewal and regeneration, absolutely. There's so many thousands of people back there, I got lost. Good. Well, Chelsea will be back next week. She'll be doing some music, and we'll focus on meditation again. I'm never going to not meditate. Next month, I'll probably do a teaching series again, and it's Easter, so you want to move. You know, there's a certain direction. It's just only appropriate that you move in. So next month will be a good month. But we'll wrap up this particular emphasis on meditation, unless I think we need it again for another month, and we might, because I think something important is happening here, and I think it takes a little while before you start noticing it. You don't meditate once, like Dr. Joe he's giving instances of people who have literally changed their, I mean, they don't use the word healed, but they don't have cancer anymore. But these are people that, I mean, they're like big time meditators. They've done it for a long time, and they really are getting results. It's actually changing, it's technically changing their DNA, but that doesn't happen overnight. You don't meditate once for 10 minutes, and you know, it takes a while. But every time we do it, we're moving more and more in that direction. I can tell, like, I felt y'all get there by the third breath this time. It was like on the third breath. It's like, oh well, they're. I actually could probably shut up and just let you do it. So, for most of you. But anyway, it was good. I love your unity and I love your openness. If you have some other things to say, please write them, because it's very encouraging when I hear your feedback, read your feedback, and I use it on the blog. Please remain standing, and we'll officially close out. Thank you for those of you here for the first time. We love you. Glad that you're here.
Contributing to Metron is quick and easy. Simply text the amount you would like to give to 404-620-5044. And now you can give anytime by texting this number. You will then receive a one-time registration form that links your phone number and opens your account at SimpleGive. Complete the form and you will then receive a successful registration and donation page. For additional information on your account, visit visionthenow.com and click the support tab.
If you have a check,
then my online donation.
Make it to JESM.
When you contribute to Metron, you're also supporting the charity or organization of the month.
Dandy will be back there to receive it.
Thank you for your investment in Metron.
If you have cash, pay it forward. Go bless somebody with it. And you're going to have a beautiful, beautiful week. Good things have happened to you today that you won't even know until 24, 48, 72 hours from now. All right? Ken's not here today, so those of you that tear down, we might need a little extra help to fill in the gap. So if you can help with that, we'd appreciate it. I love you all so much. So glad you guys are here. I love you. Except it spoils me when you're here because I'm going to see you here next week. But I love when you guys are here. I love when you're all here. Doc, glad you brought your new friend. Glad everybody's here. You got back from the island already? Yeah? Okay. I'm going to assume that was good since you're back in one piece. And I love you all. You wake up tomorrow saying, this is the day the Lord has enabled me to make. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Peace.